this way.
One cannot understand Krishna by any material endeavors. Whatever material qualifications you may have, material one, you cannot understand the Lord only by the Lord.
What did Siddharaja just say? Anyone can tell me?
You cannot understand the Lord through the material endeavors. You have to go through the material.
Any other points? Okay, I just said to everyone, don't come late, huh? This is late.
Sorry.
Not sorry, don't come. Come early. What's wrong with all of you? Any other points?
In verse 34, we saw the service of Brahma, and the service of Brahma is to create. So, but because that service is always a very passionate service, dovetailing it, he wants to dovetail it in the service of Krishna, and he also establishes the Brahma Madhava body as Madhava, so that jivas get the opportunity to go back to Krishna by creating that.
It's too late, you know?
Sorry.
It's too late. It's not the time we start. We start early. It's 7:30. Just get one chair so you can see. Come on, it's too late.
This is not the standard of the class. If you all want to come late, it's not good enough. Right? Everyone start coming early.
Hey, Lamai, I've just chastised everyone for coming late. Right? And you're doing it again.
Right? Don't smile because it's not funny. Right? I'm tired of this lateness. Right? Come early. Okay. Any other points?
When one aligns one's desire with the desire for the Lord, then we attract the mercy of the Lord and we are not influenced by the mode of passion. 34 and 35 was summary in that.
Any other points?
One can have unmotivated spiritual desire and that towards the Lord Krishna. And the secret of success lies in God's pleasure.
Anything else?
The Lord is Swara, fully independent, and so is his devotee in spiritual way, because he serves the Lord with love, not with force.
There's a question. I was just reading the text 30, where the Lord says, O Brahma, situate yourself in penance and meditation and follow the principles of knowledge. Can you elaborate on what is the meaning of the principles of knowledge? Why is he prescribing all the austerities, meditation and jnana of everything here?
So that means it means the devotional process. The devotional process has all of those elements within it. Like that. So he said Vairagya Bija. Nija, Bhakti, Jogena. So, son of Om Bhattacharya has written 100 verses in glorification of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And in those verses, then one of his glorifications of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Vairagya Bija, Nija, Bhakti, Jogena, which means that the type of devotional service which the Srimad Bhagavatam is teaching, which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is teaching, is devotional service which is enriched by vairagya and vidya, like that. Our sampradaya is known to have devotional service enriched by these two qualities. Jana yashu vairagyam, gyanam cha yada vaidhukam. So that is the nature of the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is that they practice devotional service with the spirit of renunciation. They're not sense gratifiers. If someone is a sense gratifier, you'll see that then they are not following Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mood properly. Srila Prabhupada's mood was not one of sense gratification. That wasn't Prabhupada's mood. Devotional service must be free from the desire for sense gratification. And it must be enriched with knowledge. You see all the acharyas in our sampradaya, in our tradition, from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu downwards to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada's title, given to him by his godbrothers, was Bhakti Vedanta, which means extremely learned personality. So that is the mood of our disciplic succession. It follows the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They should be learned in the philosophy of Krishna consciousness and the science of Krishna. That's why we study. Why do we study? Devotees should know something. Our Prabhupada would criticize his disciples. Don't just distribute the books, you should read the books. You should have knowledge like that. So then, it has been mentioned here in the Bhagavatam, this is the type of devotion that Lord Brahma is practicing. It must have all of those elements within it. That's our tradition. Any other points?
The mode of fashion is not affecting Brahma in this Brahma, because he is a very pure devotee of God. So that is why he can do that service without getting contaminated. But you also explained that in our case we should be very careful because we are not such pure devotees, so we should keep ourselves away, like associating with the mode of fashion. Fashion and people, we should not do that, otherwise we will get contaminated.
The Lord says that anybody who prays like Lord Brahma will be very pleased. By how Lord Brahma in such a humble mode, he glorified the Lord, such sweet and good. So he says that anybody who prays like Brahma, that such a humble mode, amongst sweet, he will be very pleased. So we also should try to develop like Lord Brahma.
Awesome. Any other points?
Lord said that everything you have has been given by me. What is required from you is most sincere.
Extending the same point, what we have in our sphere of influence and desire, even our faith comes from Krishna. That's what we discussed. And again, I have a question on that. As to how does the desire come? Does desire come before faith? Or?
Same thing. Same thing, desire and faith are the same thing. If you analyze it, your desire, your faith, it's the same thing. By then. Sometimes you say desire, sometimes you say faith. Sometimes you say you have to have faith in Krishna, sometimes you have to say you have to have a desire to go back to God. It's the same thing, really. Is that okay? I mean, you can analyze it very carefully and say, okay, there's a difference, and one comes from the other like that, but really it's the same thing. Basically. Anything else?
What if the desires, we can desire anything. So, like we can desire for money, for example, which is probably internal Krishna. So, how does the change happens from desiring for material existence, material hungry, and that desire changes to Krishna? So, how this transformation can take place? Means, is it not faith or?
Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Sangha Sanjayate Karma. So Srila Prabhupada explains that by your association, your Sangha, then you develop your karma, or your desires. Okay. So your change of desires will come by the association that you keep. If you associate with the spiritual energy, then you'll develop the desire of the spiritual energy to do devotional service. If you associate with the material energy, then you'll develop the desire to do sense gratification activities, which will lead you away from Krishna. Someone else?
One has to engage in devotional service fully when he's when one is young, so that he can burn off his mode of passion and ignorance. When he gets old, he can reside in Vrindavan in mode of ignorance.
Good point. Anything else?
The secret of success in any activity we perform is Krishna's satisfaction.
So we got to, after we did the exam on chapter 7, then we began chapter 8. And in chapter 8, we saw in the beginning of chapter 8, the Bhagavatam was glorified. The history of the Bhagavatam, its appearance within this material world, was glorified. And then, the first topic of the Bhagavatam, because at the end of the 7th chapter, then many questions were asked by Vidura to Maitreya about the Srimad Bhagavatam, in relation to the Bhagavatam. So then, just give it a real hug. So then, after those questions were asked, and in the beginning of the 8th chapter, then the tradition or the disciplic succession of the Bhagavad Gita, its appearance in this world was discussed, then the first subject which is taken up by Maitreya, when he's speaking to Vidura, he explains the creation like that. Now technically, from what we will read tonight, one of the purports tonight, Srila Prabhupada says, technically speaking, that when Lord Brahma begins to create, that is called the Visarga, the secondary creation. So then we could really say that the Sarga, or the principal creation, is not just Mahavishnu, but it's also up until the point of Galvadakshaya Vishnu and even Brahma's appearance. And then when Brahma begins to create the material planets, the planetary systems, he divides the planet, then we say that is Visarga, secondary. Although up until now, generally the way I've been saying it, explaining it, is that Visarga is when Galvadakshaya Vishnu begins. So technically Prabhupada has explained it like that tonight. So from my understanding of what he has said tonight, that would be like that. Just a minor point like that. So, in the 8th chapter, there is the description of Galvadakshaya Vishnu's creation. How Galvadakshaya Vishnu begins to create once he enters into the universes like that. And then, in chapter 9, we see that Lord Brahma begins to pray to Galvadakshaya Vishnu, because at the end of chapter 8 he has darshan of Galvadakshaya Vishnu, realizes him, and then he becomes, at the end of chapter 8 in the final verse, we see that Galvadakshaya Vishnu becomes Lord Brahma becomes overcome with the desire to create. The motive passion affects him, and he feels, now I must create as my service to the Lord. So then in chapter 9 he begins to offer many wonderful prayers to the Lord, and in the beginning of those prayers, in verses 2, 3 and 4 of the 9th chapter, then he gives the basic prayers which the rest of his teachings are based upon. Okay? He gives the basic prayers describing the Lord's personality. The Lord is the supreme spiritual personality, and he's beyond the material modes of material nature. So he defines his realization of God according to what he has realized up until this point in time. At the end of chapter 8 he had a realization of Krishna, of God. And then in the beginning of chapter 9, when he begins to offer his prayers, he defines who he saw and what he saw. That he saw the supreme personality of Godhead, who is a spiritual personality. So he gives this description in his prayers, and then he gives many wonderful instructions within his prayers. Can anyone remember any of the themes which he gives throughout his prayers in chapter 9, which we've discussed in the last week or two?
His form is the manifestation of eternal potency. It is descended to show the causeless merciless goodness.
Yeah, that is it. What else is described?
How to engage in an activity.
In what way?
Well, first, doing the penances, being grateful to the Lord that the result is being accomplished.
Very good. So one of the main themes that Lord Brahma gives is that he teaches us, even though we may perform the activity, but still we should understand that the activity, the ability and the intelligence to perform the activity is coming from Krishna. So that was the mood that Lord Brahma has. That is his mood within his service. Even though he is performing such a great activity, but he understands all the ability is given by Krishna, and he has faith that actually the activity has already been performed by Krishna. Krishna actually tells him, the Lord tells him, actually the creation has already taken place. You simply have to act, perform your service, and manifest the creation, and you shall take the credit. Prabhupada emphasizes this in relationship to Arjuna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Krishna says to Arjuna within the Bhagavad Gita, all of the warriors on the battlefield are already killed by my arrangement. Simply you will become an instrument and you will take the credit like that of Savyasachi. So this is the mood of Lord Brahma. He's teaching us the mood of devotional service. Although he's such a qualified personality, he does not accept the credit himself. So then we get to the end of chapter 9, and now tonight we'll begin chapter 10, and within chapter 10 we'll see the creation begins to manifest. Lord Brahma begins Jagrat. This is Visarga. This is the secondary creation, the creation of Brahmaji. Right? Now that he has been given instruction and empowerment by the Lord and the intelligence and the ability, now what will he create? Now we'll begin to see in the next chapters, chapters 9, 10, 11, 11, we'll see now the creation begin to manifest. What unfolds from Lord Brahma? Right? Very wonderful. How this is actually describing how this universe began. Right? So this is exciting stuff. How did this universe begin? Right? What is the beginning of this universe? What is the first creation within this universe? How does it begin to manifest? It's exciting stuff. You won't find anything in the material world which will match this. No description, no story, no pastime. Nothing will match this. This is the actual essence of that. Just like in the material world, they speak about so much nonsense. You listen to the news, you read the newspapers, and it is foodstuff for crows. Right? No interest, nothing in there tastes right. And they find this interesting. But actually, you want something really interesting, you can understand how they created the universe. Right? This is an amazing subject matter. So very interesting. So please stay tuned.
Can I make a comment for you?
Please, Prabhu.
So this is from a recent interesting phenomenon which is taken from around the world. This is that for the first time, a patent application for an artificial living organism has recently been filed by Dr. Craig. Well, his full name is Dr. Craig Venter. He says that he is going to create artificially for the first time a living organism for which he has applied for the patency. Not only that he has done it, he says that he owns that organism. And the patency is awaiting for approval.
So this guy is in Maya. Isn't it?
Because what he has done is he has taken the existing plasm, that is the cell, he has taken out all the genic material, he has recreated the genic material called genome and implanted back into the cell, and therefore it has started working.
Has he read any Prabhupada's books? Then do you know where this man lives?
Yes.
Can you give him one book? It's called Life Comes From That.
But he doesn't stay here, he stays somewhere in Switzerland.
You speak to the Swiss devotees. Say, please give him this one book, Life Comes From That. And Prabhupada will establish what is actually the difference between truth and, as Bhagavatam say, the first verse, reality from illusion. Because it's not reality. Anyone who's a theist, who is a devotee of God, will never make such statement. Someone who says this is not devotee of God. Thank you for sharing that with us.
Just in reference to this, it's not a scientific way in which we can defeat this, because who knows, he is making scientific claim, if you look at it like that.
Yeah.
So then we'll, that's what I'm saying, what Prabhupada is outline within Life Comes From Life. These conversations with Bhakti Sri Devana Maharaj, Prabhupada deals with all these concepts, materialistic concepts of creation. So Prabhupada said, you just make one mosquito. Just make one mosquito. So now they're saying they made one microbe. The Prabhupada explains why it is not possible. We can't go into details.
His patency is that earlier the statement was that it would have been a science fiction even a decade ago, but it's not merely that such things are now possible. This is what the patency lawyers are saying, that it's possible because his aim is to create that microbe which is used for converting the fossil into fuel, that is the crude oil. Therefore, he is aiming to create or prepare or manufacture those bucks which convert the fossil into the crude oil so that he could become a billionaire.
Sounds incredibly interesting.
We do this in trouble.
Yeah. Now I'll start the chapter.
Okay.
Thank you for sharing that with us.
I have a question.
But I can't take it now because we have to start the chapter. If it comes up, ask a little bit later. Okay. Chapter 10. Divisions of the creation. Sri Vidura said, our great sage, please let me know about, please let me know how Brahma, the grandfather of the planetary inhabitants, created the bodies of the living entities from his own body and mind after the disappearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is the Visarga. This is the creation of Lord Brahma. O greatly learned one, eradicate all my doubts and let me know of all that I have inquired from you, from the beginning to the end.
Vidura asked all relevant questions of Maitreya before he knew well that Maitreya was the right person to reply to all the points of his inquiries. One must be constant about the qualifications of his teacher. One should not approach a layman for replies to specific spiritual inquiries. Such inquiries, when replied to with imaginative answers by the teachers, are a program for wasting time.
Any points of interest here?
Yes.
What does Srila Prabhupada say?
Like, this is quite a contrast in current world. Even the students, they just go with a challenging attitude, even to the universities. They just don't accept the knowledge, they just are there, I can outshine the teacher by my own efforts. So it's like teaching, we use that knowledge and again we use that knowledge to attain that position.
So the attitude of the listeners in the modern educational system is not correct, that's what you're saying.
Yeah.
According to what Krishna teaches in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4, verse 34. But that you must have a submissive attitude. Okay. This is not the nature of people in Kali Yuga. Right? What is one thing all of us here have in common? Or you can say, what is it one thing that all those conditioned souls in the material world have in common?
Cheating for
propensity. Cheating propensity, yes, that's true.
Defying authority.
Defying authority, that's the point. No one likes authority. Hands up if you like authority. That is the nature of the conditioned souls in the material world. No one likes authority. But then, of course we do like authority. Because we like, if you become advanced, you like authority. Spiritual advance. From a material point of view, from the platform of false ego, no one likes authority. No one likes to be told what to do. Right? So therefore, everyone in the modern educational system has the wrong attitude for learning, actually. Any other points here?
One more thing, and there is scarcity in fact, there are no acharyas.
No qualified teachers. So we don't have any qualified students, we also don't have properly qualified teachers. So what is Prabhupada's definition of the properly qualified teacher according to this first purport? What must the teacher have?
He should be able to eradicate all the doubts.
He should be
not
that
he wants.
He should be
a master, teachers, vendors. Yes. He should be able to convince the confusion of Shastra to the disciples.
In other words, he must be fully learned in terms of the Bhagavad philosophy. Now, the Bhagavad philosophy has 10 divisions of knowledge, which were related to us in Canto 2, Chapter 10, Verse 1. What are the 10 subject matters of the Srimad Bhagavatam? Sarga, Visarga. Then? Stana, Poshana, Uddaya, Manmata, Shisha, Anu, Pata, Niroda, Mukti, and Ashraya. These are the 10 subject matters of knowledge, and Prabhupada explains in the 10th chapter of the second canto that all questions must fall within these categories of knowledge. And if the questions do not fall within these categories of knowledge, they do not constitute knowledge. So the teacher must understand these 10 subject matters properly. Then he's qualified to represent the disciplic succession. He must be well versed in these 10 subject matters. He must have studied them and understood them and be able to
explain them to others, and eradicate people's doubts, any questions that they have regarding these 10 subject matters. But these days we see the teachers do not have any understanding of these 10 subject matters properly. They don't understand the Sarga. They don't understand how this world was created. They don't understand the Visarga. They don't understand how Lord Brahma created the world. They don't even believe there was a creation. We just woke up one morning and everything was here. Right? That's very logical. Even one friend of mine on Tuesday night, he was telling me that he was going to university a year or two ago, and one of the courses that he took in the university was time travel. Right? And this was a serious course at a serious university. Right? Time travel. This was the title of the course and the subject of the course. And he said the reason he went to the course was for entertainment. Because he said the professor was a little bit nutty. And the subject matter was also a little bit nutty. So he said it was very entertaining. Right? He said the teacher, the professor used to laugh madly as he was explaining this subject to people. Right? How we can travel through time. Right? And all the students used to laugh and debate with him, and it was just like an entertainment. And this person who was teaching this course was getting paid by the university to teach this nonsense. And all the students get paid to go and study this nonsense. Right? So this is where our educational system has come to. Right? It is not even serious anymore. Whereas Prabhupada is pointing out here in the Bhagavad Gita, if you are going to be educated, then enter an institution where the teachers actually have knowledge, right? And where the students have the right attitude towards the teacher, and they want to understand what is actual knowledge. Otherwise, what is the point of the education? And that's the problem. This is Prabhupada's opening for this chapter. Any questions or comments so far?
One question. When somebody is teaching, say, IT subject, how does this 10 matters come there, Prabhu? Because philosophy is one aspect that's intrinsic to everything. But then somebody is teaching science, or biology, or physics, chemistry. How do they relate? Why should they relate to Srimad Bhagavatam, Prabhu Gita, and a class and not?
Why should it?
Yeah, because, see, this is one aspect, there's another aspect. That aspect, this goes into this aspect in a broader sense, but otherwise, you know, when teaching science or physics or chemistry, why would the teacher bring in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam and tell the students? The students are misbehaving the class, it's because of the cultural environment. It's not that every student misbehaves, as Prabhu is saying, but it's the typically the Westerners in the classroom environment are mischievous, but students coming from the Asian community, at least today, behave properly. And this is my experience in the university.
Acha. So what is your question?
The question is to what you are saying, that if somebody is teaching physics or a science subject, why should the teacher know anything about the creation when it's not related to the topic which he's trying to teach in a classroom environment?
Then why is he teaching the topic?
Because that's what has been asked of the topic.
Then who asked him?
That's the way the whole that's the way the whole thing has been devised.
So then the whole thing is useless. Shrava Hibi Kevalon. Then what's the point? What's the point of studying biology if you don't study from a theistic point of view that there's a creator? And what's the point? Well, if we're studying from Darwin's theory of evolution, then what's the point of that education? Right, because it's not leading one back to the absolute truth. That's the point which Prabhupada's making here, right? The 10 subject matters, right? Utaya means the creative impetus, like that. Or Visarga, like that. Then how the secondary creation begins to manifest from Brahma. Then you should study physics, biology, chemistry in relation to those 10 subject matters. So that you will come to the conclusion of the absolute truth, which is what you do when you study from the Bhagavat angle of vision. So therefore Prabhupada developed the Bhakti Vedanta Institute, and I'm reading at the moment TKG's diary, Swami Krishnaraja's diary at the very end of Prabhupada's life. So I've been reading that at the moment just before I take rest at night, and Prabhupada is very
heavily and strongly emphasizing in his final pastimes the importance of establishing the Bhaktivedanta Institute to preach to the scientists, the intellectuals, the professors, those who are in the scholarly positions in this world, because Prabhupada is pointing out, if we change them, then we can change many others. Like that. So that would be our conclusion. What is the point of the study if it does not relate? So if we can somehow change them so that they can begin to introduce this knowledge within the courses, then the course has meaning. Otherwise, what is the point? Otherwise, what is the conclusion? The conclusion is there is no God. Just like my father, he went to university and studied philosophy. So, at Melbourne University. So then I said to him, what was the conclusion of your course? Right? And his answer was, there is nothing. And I said, oh, it's good job. So now you understand why I don't follow my father. Now you understand why I follow my spiritual father. Because my father has no idea. He just doesn't have any idea what is the truth. Like that. Whereas my spiritual father is fully conversant in these 10 subject matters. Therefore, he is the actual guide. Any other points?
Even if they could read the Vedas, then all the Sankhya-Purasa belief, the material and the non-material will come into the Vedas. If they could, even in the university, they could teach Vedas, then actually all the material, non-material knowledge will be in the Vedas. And they, that those days, the like as Prabhu was telling, the education system itself is completely wrong, because in those days the Krishna Balaram went to Gurukul and they were learning. They were also very learned. In those days, the people, the students were very learned, but the gurus used to guide them in the right direction. They used to teach them the Vedas, they used to teach them all the kind of medicinal science and everything. But still, it was connected with Krishna as well. So they used to teach.
That's the point.
That is the correct educational system, but now the education system.
Otherwise, it is not correct.
Yeah, it's completely by non devotees and vegetables.
Big problem.
No, like Varnashrama system has gone, the education system is gone.
Everything is gone. Kali Yuga.
Useless.
Any other points?
So does it mean that we should just boycott all the recent institution, educational institution?
Should what?
We should just not go.
Or you're thinking of joining one?
What do you advise to the little children?
Yeah. That's good. What do I advise to the children?
Yeah.
Chant Hare Krishna and be happy.
So they should not go to the modern schools
then? They can go to school, but then if the parents are Krishna conscious, the parents can give them the conclusion of life, because the teachers won't give the conclusion. Teachers will give some basic, reading and writing and these kind of basic things. But it's from the parents that they'll learn the actual goal of life. Otherwise,
so
they won't.
So they will be having two kinds of teachings.
Yeah, or the parents will make those teachings become relevant. Otherwise, those teachings will not become relevant.
The modern scientists, they don't believe in Lord. And they will teach always that there is no Lord. And you can do whatever you want. That's the teaching.
And what do we call that?
Atheist.
Shrama Evahi.
Prabhu, in this purport it says, for replies to specific spiritual inquiries.
Yeah.
So what that means, it is only spiritual inquiries or all these, what Prabhuji and Mataji are talking about? Scientific and philosophical
knowledge. It means the 10 subject matters of the Bhagavatam. That's what it means. Specific spiritual inquiries. It means the 10 subject matters of the Bhagavatam. The teacher must understand. Any other points?
That reminds of that the question should be very relevant. Like in Bhagavatam, a couple of times we see Sukhdev Goswami says to Parikshit Maharaj, Varyami is in the Prashnena. Very good question. Like, when he inquired the questions to Sukhdev Goswami, he didn't ask how I can get rid of this snake that is coming to bite me in 7 days. Because he had so compassion to other living entities.
in the high time of his life, he was even bothered about to inquire about, say, different narkas, you know, hellish planets. He don't need to, but he has asked this relevant question so that other cats benefit from the place.
That's it. Because everything was related to Krishna, to the Ashraya. Without the Ashraya, then nothing else has any purpose. Yeah. It is only with Krishna that everything has purpose. Therefore, the Paribhasa Sutra of the Bhagavatam, this is Krishna's tu Bhagavan Swayam. So everything must relate back to that statement. Without Krishna, everything is irrelevant. No, I'll keep going.
Sutta Goswami said, O son of Bhrigu, the great sage Maitreya Muni, thus hearing from Vidura, felt very much enlivened. Everything was in his heart, and thus he began to reply to the questions one after another.
Son of Bhrigu?
Sutta Goswami began to speak. Shaunaka. According to what it says there, that's as far as I know. According to what it says here, it says that, son of Bhrigus. The greatly learned sage Maitreya said, O Vidura, Brahma thus engaged himself in penances for 100 celestial years, as advised by the personality of Godhead, and applied himself in devotional service to the Lord. Sri Devi, you can read them.
That Brahma engaged himself for the personality of Godhead, Narayana, means that he engaged himself in the service of the Lord. That is the highest penance one can perform for any number of years. There is no retirement from such service, which is eternal and ever encouraging.
What are the points here?
Lord's service, there is no retirement.
No retirement for additional service. Any other points?
Why do you call it penance in children? So it is a desirous of pleasing the Lord or seeking some guidance from the Lord. What do you call it penance?
Devotional service? It is sometimes called that. Lord Richard Day says, O Divya. So it means that you have to perform some. There is some penance.
So normally penance is the word penalty, normally refers to something which you don't like at all.
Yeah. Or Prabhupada gives the definition of penance as being you have to voluntarily give up something to achieve something higher. So that's how we call it penance. So for the devotee means giving up, we follow four regulative principles and we give up sense gratification to achieve something higher. Like Krishna says in the 9th chapter of Gita, Susukhasta, that the devotional service is very joyfully performed.
In other words, you have a freedom, you give the freedom away to engage in service.
Yeah. So some penance is there. But for us it is. That may not feel like penance. Any other points?
No, like the definition of penance changes from person to person.
Definition of?
Penance. Austerity. Like, what is austerity for someone may not be just living happy, for example.
That's true. That's true. Yeah, it's the same as what I was explaining. Yeah, it's true.
One should be secured in the proper consciousness which begins to perform the emotional activity. And penance seems to achieve that purpose. And Brahma is demonstrating the point that before he amends, although he had and amount of austerity is following these Lord possession of the Lord. Yet again before he commences his actual seva, he performs a penance for the celestial
beings. That's what was said in the previous chapter. So as Prabhupada mentions here, it's a very nice purport. Prabhupada said that is the highest penance one can perform for any number of years. So devotional service is the greatest sacrifice. It is the most valuable use of time. And as devotees, we should always be convinced of that. Therefore, the necessity for the devotees to continuously hear. Because when devotees stop hearing, right, when they stop attending classes, stop listening to lectures, stop reading Srila Prabhupada's books,
then the tendency is to forget that devotional service is the most important use of one's time and energy. And you'll see devotees who are not sufficiently hearing and reading Prabhupada's books, then they become very bewildered in their consciousness quite often. And you'll see that they put other things as being more important than their devotional activities, their sadhana. Not understanding that their sadhana, or their hearing and chanting about Krishna, is actually the most important use of time. And by hearing and chanting about Krishna, then everything else in your life becomes auspicious. So therefore, as Srila Prabhupada is mentioning here, this is the highest form of penance. Right? It is the greatest sacrifice, right, to engage in devotional activities. Okay. So one should make that the foremost activity in one's life. That should be the most important use of one's time, right? Using one's activities in Krishna service. And that way one becomes perfect in one's existence. Thereafter, Brahma saw that both the lotus on which he was situated and the water in which the lotus was growing were trembling due to a strong, violent wind. Such a cycle.
The material world is called illusory because it is a place of forgetfulness of the transcendental service to the service of Lord. Thus, one engaged in the Lord's devotional service in the material world may sometimes be very much disturbed by awkward circumstances. There is a declaration of war between two parties, the illusory energy and the devotee. And sometimes the weak devotee fall victim to the onslaught of the powerful illusory energy. Lord Brahma, however, suffering strong by the causeless mercy, of the Lord, and he could not be victimized by the material energy, although it gave him cause of anxiety when it managed to torture the existence of his position.
Very nice purple from Prabhupada. Nice instructions. Any points here?
Dukkhala ya shashwa. He is a powerful personality.
Sorry.
No, that's it. Reminds me of that phrase.
Material world.
If a powerful personality like Lord Brahma can fill the insight and what the top of the nation souls.
Perseverance and determination required. There will be difficulties, which is natural, but perseverance and determination is required. Continue with the devotional service.
Where will you get that from? No, I'm saying where will you get those qualities from?
Faith.
Association of devotees. Association.
Yeah, in his pure state. Any other points?
Does that mean that Brahma is being tested here too as well? Because you know how it's sort of stated that by growing we're trembling due to strong and violent wind, is he being tested for his devotional service to the Lord?
Yeah, it's showing us the example that the nature of the material energy is that sometimes it is very violent and very turbulent. Do not expect peace and tranquility in this material world, because that is not the nature of the material world. Even from the very beginning, when we saw Lord Brahma, he was experiencing anxiety because of the material world. And that is the nature of the material energy. It gives anxiety. This is not Vaikuntha. This is Kunta, which means this is the place of anxiety. Right? There is anxiety within this material creation. So from the very beginning, we saw Lord Brahma was experiencing the anxiety of this material world. Now, Srila Prabhupada points out in his purport that devotees who are not very strong in Krishna consciousness can become greatly affected by this material energy. Right? And we see many devotees, Prabhupada explains this very nicely. There is a declaration of war between the two parties, the illusory energy and the devotee. So Prabhupada explains that as soon as you join the Sankirtan movement, you declare war on Maya. And when you declare a war on someone, right, do not expect that person to treat you very softly. Right? When there's a war, you don't expect the soldiers on the other side of the battlefield to walk up to you in the middle of the battle and give you a cup of tea. Do not expect them to treat you very respectfully. Right? The nature of the material energy is that she will give you anxieties. That is her nature. So when you become a devotee, you have to expect it will be a test. Right? It will continually be testing us. And Prabhupada explains that sometimes the weak devotees fall victim to the onslaught of the powerful material energy. So you see that many devotees, they have difficulties in their spiritual life. They find it difficult to become steady and fixed in their devotional service. Right? And there's so many difficulties from the material energy, they find it very difficult to continue with their sadhana. So therefore, we have to take shelter of the devotees who are very strong. Advanced devotees. Because by their association, they will lift us up. So we have to stay very close to them and keep their association. Keep close association with serious Vaishnavas, serious devotees. And by their association, we remain protected. Right? Just like we saw when Jayaprataka Swami came last week. Right? Practically everyone just becomes lifted up. Right? And you don't feel like leaving him. That's why wherever he walks, there's at least 30 or 40 people behind him. Right? Wherever he goes anywhere. Because everyone feels protected from Maya, isn't it? Right? When you feel like you're with him, you don't feel like Maya is close to you. And then when he's gone, then you feel like, oh, now I'm on my own in here. Like that. So therefore, when we're on our own, then we have to stay together in a group. Like that. Prabhupada gives the example that the one stick or the one twig easily broken. But when they put them all together, very difficult, becomes very strong. So when we stay together with the serious devotees, then by the association of the serious devotees, we stay very protected in that association. Like that. And then although the material energy is giving so many difficulties, so we don't feel like it's so difficult. Right? Just like when you're on a boat, right, you have to expect that the boat will rock. And that's what it's like, the material world's like that. Even though we're all devotees and we're trying to serve Krishna, but in the material world, yeah, our lives are going like this all the time. Isn't it? Right? Does anyone feel like that sometimes?
Oh, yes.
Right? It's just like, you just feel like, oh, I'm going to. But when you're a devotee, if you're very taking shelter of all the devotees who are on board the boat of this kind, even though, yeah, the boat's getting tossed around or in the material world, but still we feel protected. We feel safe. Because the devotees are protecting us. And then we have some very advanced Vaishnavas who, by their protection, we feel totally safe. So you have to stay with them as much as you can. Yes, sir.
In Madhurya Kalambini, also this point is elaborated very nicely. The state between Vajra Kriya and Nishtha, where Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is saying that the material world, the turbulence of the material world, with Naishtiki Bhakti, is steady devotional service. Only at that point in time, when we look at Sasana, we will not feel the impact of this, although this impact is all around us. But as long as we don't cross the stage of Anartha Nirvati and go into Nishtha, till that time, this will keep troubling us. So many instances, because our past sins are also not completely gone.
Yes. And then even for the pure devotees, you'll see there will be anxiety. Just like you're reading the Leelamrita, there was that one pastime, Prabhupada was in Kenya, and Prabhupada was in a car accident. Like that. So it's not that when, even for the pure devotees, Prabhupada explains here very nicely. Lord Brahma, however, was sufficiently strong by the causeless mercy of the Lord, and he could not be victimized by the material energy, although it gave him cause for anxiety when it managed to totter the existence of his position. So even for the pure devotee, because you're in the material world, you cannot expect that everything will be smooth. Because it's not like that. Like Prabhupada got gnawed by the cow one time.
right, when he was in India. Like that. And one time a cow came up to me in the middle of the day in the hot sun and
hit him.
Prabhupada fell on the ground. Like that. So he was attacked by a cow. One time he was in the car accident in Kenya. Like that. So, you know, different things. Another time someone stole a typewriter when he came to America. Like that. So many difficulties were there. So it's not that when someone is a pure devotee, there will be no difficulties. But as Prabhupada says here, because he's very steady and very fixed and very strong in Krishna's service, then he doesn't feel the difficulties so much.
Problems.
The problems, yeah.
Can I ask something? Why is Maya troubling the devotees? You say that when Guru Maharaj is there, like we are sins are forgiven with that, and then when like Guru Maharaj goes away and association is slacking.
No, you're just feeling the spiritual atmosphere. Because when you're with a very advanced Vaishnava, then he has Krishna in his heart, and because he feels, because he's on a very advanced level, then you feel like when you're with him, it's like being in the spiritual world. Because actually the spiritual world is in his consciousness, in his heart. So in his association, you feel that situation. Just like devotees used to say when they were with Prabhupada, it was like being in the spiritual world. Like that. You must have experienced it was like that.
Whenever Prabhupada comes to the Tamil, it's like that. Every
Yeah, because the pure devotee is in Krishna's association, so in his presence you feel that spiritual atmosphere like that.
No, my question is that like Maya, she just she wants us to be Krishna conscious, that's why she's troubling the living entities. All the conditioned souls, she's beating them so that they go and surrender to Krishna and take shelter of Krishna. That's her objective. But when we are all like trying our best to surrender to Krishna, why she beats us more and more? Like,
because she wants to try hard.
Testing time. But she just but she doesn't have any. But it's not like we are declaring war against her, because she is indirectly helping us to surrender to Krishna.
Testing time.
No, but whatever misery she is giving is ending up in our purification only. Like she's not, she's like a mother only, you know. In one sense, she's like a mother who's like hard on a child so that the child will surrender to Krishna.
It's called testing time.
Can I ask a question? Because even the material world, I feel very comfortable in the presence of my father, because that's the comfort zone. So when I think whenever we had seniors in whose shelter we are living, whether it's material or spiritual, we get that comfort zone.
Yeah, definitely. And if this senior is Krishna conscious, that's perfect. Perfection. Not that so.
Well, some of the misery we feel through karma, too, isn't it? So how is that entwined with my testing?
Then it's explained that for a devotee, then we still have some reactions coming from the previous lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
But the reactions have become less because we're taken to devotional service.
Mm-hmm.
So then Krishna uses those reactions in order to purify the devotee.
Mm-hmm.
So for us it's karma, but it's karma in Krishna's hands. Whereas for a non-devotee, it's just straight material energy. Durga is dealing with the devotee. But for a devotee, then Krishna is directly trying to bring us closer to him. Okay. Long penance and transcendental knowledge of self-realization had matured Brahma in practical knowledge, and thus he drank the wind completely along with the water.
Because Brahma's struggle for existence is a personal example of the continuing fight between the living entities and in the material world and the illusory energy called Maya. Beginning from Brahma down to this age, the living entities are struggling with the forces of material nature. By advanced knowledge in science and transcendental realization, one can try to control the material energy, which works against our endeavor. And in the modern age, advanced material scientific knowledge and tendencies have played very wonderful roles in controlling the powers of the material energy. Such control of the material energy, however, can be most successfully carried out if one is a soul surrendered unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead and carries out His order in the spirit of loving transcendental service.
Mm-hmm. So, any points in this group?
The point is, we must surrender to Lord Krishna, and then, by His help, we can get over all the difficulties of the material world.
Mm-hmm. Any other points?
Scientists, they claim that they have controlled the material energies, and we see scientific inventions around us. They are just nothing but controlling the material energy. But this advancement, still, they are not good enough. They can't leave us to the real destination for ours during this lifetime.
If one is situated in on the platform of devotional service, then whatever may be the disturbances, the Lord will give him the realization how to deal with that. Lord Ram was, you know, just situated on that platform, and immediately when he saw him on the trembling water, he got the power to bring the water in the wind and everything was calm down.
Maam yere ye prabhatyante maam yere vanta annu sarandra sandhani chanisi very difficult to learn the 3 months of material thus my divine energy consists of the 3 months of material age of mind, Lord says of mind devi geshu
I have a question from you, like Brahma has not started the visarga yet, so where has this wind come from? Like, usually wind, there is a controlling deity for wind, no? So is it that it's come from
Vaidya Vishnu? It's an arrangement. It's been inspired by the Lord.
Inspired?
Yeah. Oh, in other words, it's a cosmic wind. It's something which the Lord has arranged. Like that.
Air is one of the elements created. Air is one of the elements created.
Acha. So there must be a presiding deity. So under the Lord's arrangement, then it's...
Does this proverb say that Maya also attacks Brahma?
Trying to. That's what we said in the previous. Prabhupada explained that in the previous book. The devotee declares war on Maya. Like that, so yeah. Every devotee gets tested.
Well, here one point which says that the spirit of loving transcendental service. Again, in Madhurya Kalangi, it is mentioned that the Vishwanath Saraswati Thakur is talking about the power of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra to do Anartha Nivritti. But he says that Anartha Nivritti will definitely happen when we start chanting and our past sins will go away. But and the Mahamantra has got all the potency to do it. But it says that the Mahamantra does not work in its full potency because of offenses to Vaishnavas. So, if that offensive mentality to Vaishnava doesn't go away, even a person who is, you know, chanting 16 rounds and doing the, you know, first and second initiated and whatever, the power of the mantra doesn't relieve itself fully in that anarthya. And because of that, the reactions are still there. So that's why, you know, devotees, you know, though they are fully, you know, doing whatever Srila Prabhupada has said, as long as offenses are there, then the reactions are going to come.
Good point.
Yesterday we had a class on Sri Madhurya Kalangi. Sri Prabhupada made a wonderful point. He was speaking about the state of Bhava, and he made a statement that even a devotee in a neophyte stage can have his Bhava realization if he does not commit physically the Vaishnava offense. He made this
glimpse of Bhava.
He can have a glimpse of Bhava while even he is a neophyte. It is so difficult for him to avoid the offenses at that stage. But when he is protected by the senior Vaishnavas and does not commit any offenses, in that stage itself can be able to get that realization.
Go to Bhava. Yeah, that's basically the process. So we see here that in the material world, there will always be difficulties. always be problems. But we have to learn the method of dealing with those problems or overcoming those problems. So Lord Brahma dealt with them in a very efficient way. There was a great hurricane and great tidal waves. And what did he do? He swallowed them. So this is the ability that he had, because he was empowered by the Lord to deal with the entire situation. So we may not be able to deal with our problems exactly in that way. So Prabhupada points out in the purport that the materialistic people, the scientists and the materialists, then they try to deal with the problems of the material world through adjusting the material energy. Just like they have so many modern inventions and so many modern machines to overcome the problems of the material world. Just like you don't have to wash your clothes anymore, you just buy one machine and it does it for you. You don't have to practically dry your clothes anymore by hanging them out and then you just throw it in one machine and it does it for you. Right? So much machinery in order to make our lives simple, to overcome the problems of the material existence. And this is all coming from modern scientific and Prabhupada said they've made great progress. And in this day and age, it's more comfortable to live than ever before. If we were giving this class in this place 500 years ago, we would not have electricity. Right? We would not have a heater. Right? We would not have all, you know, furniture which is made so easily and so comfortably. Right? Everything would be so much more endeavour. So Prabhupada said in order to alleviate the problems in the material world, they've made so many adjustments through modern scientific. But still, Prabhupada is pointing out in the purport, it is not the best way to deal with the problems in the material world. It's a steric way to deal with it. In other words, deal with it in a mechanistic way. We'll create machines, right? This is what the demons do. They create machines in order to influence the material energy. But Prabhupada has pointed out in previous cantos, in the first canto and so forth, that previously in the Vedic time, they would make adjustments in the material energy, but through subtle means. In other words, through sound vibrational mantras. Like that. So it's a more subtle way. Right? Instead of trying to solve the problems through gross ways, then they would do it through very subtle ways. Just like it's described previously, like when they're fighting the battle of Kurukshetra, then the great warriors and the great mystics on the battlefield, like Bhishma and Drona, and who were very powerful personalities, they could adjust the weather patterns to suit the battle. They could chant mantras and they could make the clouds disappear. Right? Or they could make the clouds come. And they could make adjustments in the material energy through subtle means. But actually, even better than that, even better than adjusting the material energy in the subtle way, is to adjust it in a devotional way. In other words, as Prabhupada has pointed out in the previous purport, the problems in the material world cannot be stopped. But for one who is engaged in devotional service, he will not feel the pangs of the material energy. Even though he's in the material energy, he will not feel the discomfort of the material energy. And just like we saw Srila Prabhupada in his final pastimes in this material world, even though his body became very emaciated, and from a materialistic point of view, there would have been a great deal of suffering. But because Prabhupada was so absorbed in bhakti or devotional service, then he did away with all the problems of the material energy. So this is the actual remedy of how to overcome all of the problems within this material energy. All the anxiety which is created by the material energy is to fully engage in devotional service to Krishna. And that way all the problems can be dissipated. So Prabhupada is emphasizing this. Yes, sir.
Another meaning to that verse was the ability to tolerate. A threshold level of tolerating pain is very, it has come down. Especially, for example, with computers. Even if it takes 10 seconds for the computer screen to come out, we are impatient now, we get very frustrated. Our tolerance level of many things has come down because of that.
I also had this problem. My computer was taking a long time, so I had to get it fixed because it was taking too long. I could not tolerate it. But then it crashed. And now I have bigger problems. Because I've lost everything. Everything in my life, I've lost it. Krishna took everything away from me. So I just surrender unto him. Any other points?
On that point, with one arrow, Bhishma Pitama could raise the wind so badly, like a hurricane.
Mm.
In another arrow, he could produce the cloud. Mm. And in third arrow, very severe rainfall. Mm. So that's how he could win.
Mm.
Find.
Subtle adjustment.
Suddenly.
Yeah. Now they do it. They do similar thing by mechanical means. They build tanks. Just like America has tanks when they fought that, when they invaded Iraq. So the Iraqi army, they had Russian tanks. They brought them from Russia. And they were very good tanks. And these, the Russian tanks could shoot their missile for 1.5 kilometers and hit the target. But the American tanks could shoot the missile for 2 kilometers. So before the Russian tank could get close enough, the Iraqi tank, the American tank already blew it up. So this is from mechanical means. But then in the Vedic time, they could use weapons with similar potency and similar power, but just by putting one arrow on the bow, chanting one mantra, and then it would be so powerful like that. Of course, you had to be very powerful to do like that. But even more powerful, by subtle. This is just the material energy. Best way to deal with the whole problem of the anxiety in the material world is devotional service. By devotional service, all the problems in the material world can be totally eradicated. Okay. Thereafter, he saw that the lotus on which he was situated was spread throughout the universe, and he contemplated how to create all the planets which were previously merged in that very same lotus. A
situation. Since all the planets in the universe were impregnated in the lotus on which Brahma was situated, all the planets were already generated by the Lord, and all the living entities were also born in Brahma. The material world and the living entities were all already generated in sibling forms by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and Brahma was to disseminate the same siblings all over the universe. The real creation is therefore called Saga, and later on, the manifestation by Brahma is called Visarga.
Any points here?
The seeds of all the planets were already there. Brahma just distributed them and made the planets.
That's true.
So, can you explain that a little bit more? How the seeds were there? And like, what was the role of the Lord, and from where does Brahma take over?
Mm. Is that what you're asking? The question? So, this is the Visarga. This is where the Visarga begins. So, the Lord creates the material elements like that. We see that in the beginning, this is in the Padma Kalpa, in the very beginning of the creation, then the lotus flower, we saw this described in the previous chapter, chapter 8, we saw that the lotus flower came from the navel of Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, the lotus stem. And Lord Brahma found himself on that stem, and then he went down into the stem to try to find his origin. And then he came back and he performed his penance and austerity. Now that he's become realized, right, he attained the vision or the ability to see Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. In other words, he's become fully realized and perfect in his Krishna consciousness. Then at this point in time, now he's looked out for a second time into the stem of the lotus flower. But now he is seeing that all of the jivas have been impregnated by the Lord into the lotus flower, and all the elements are also impregnated. And now, at this point in time, the description is giving, he's beginning to see all the, like, the planets begin to matter, and they're all beginning to spread throughout the universe. So now he's beginning to see the whole creation beginning to manifest like that. So now his duty is to begin to construct everything. And to, you'll see now, in this, from this chapter onwards, he begins to create the different species of life. Because you see, the planets are beginning to form, the jivas are beginning to manifest, their subtle bodies are there. But now he has to create their gross bodies, right? He has to begin to populate the universe so that all of the living entities can fulfill their karma. So now he has to create the 8,400,000 species of life throughout the universe, and he has to put everything in place. So it's, you'll see here, he divides all the planets and so forth into the three planetary systems, and then he begins to divide everything into the 14 planetary systems, and then he puts all the living entities, because all the living entities are in the lotus step, he puts them according to the Lord's desire in the particular planets, so that they can fulfill their desires and so forth, and the universe begins to manifest and operate. This is what's taking place. Is that?
So, Prabhuji, when we say that his role is to populate the universe, and but the jivas are already there, no? So what role he's playing in populating the
gross bodies?
He's giving gross bodies, but when we say Brahma populates the universe, and then the Manus come, and you know, the Pokumaras didn't procreate, and then the Manus come, and they procreate, and all this.
Yeah, so in the sense that he is the, he is the original personality. He is the original father. So then, from him comes his progeny, the Manus, that the Kumaras, right, the different sages, the Sapta Rishis, like that. All these different personalities manifest from Brahma, right, the nine Yogendras and so forth. And then from then the universe begins to manifest. So, is that what you're asking?
Yeah. So that means all the jivas are inside Brahma right now. They are not inside Garbhodaksha Vishnu anymore.
No, they're not inside Garbhodaksha Vishnu, they're in the lotus stem. Yeah, in the lotus, that's what it says.
Because one sentence says, no, they were in Brahma. So, and all the living entities were also born in Brahma.
So, what does it say here? What does this mean? Murali Prabhu, what does this mean, what is written on the board?
Hiranyagarbha.
So the body is the lotus flower. But also the Prabhupada also points out that the gross universe is also the body of Brahma.
It's been gross universe.
Yeah, we described that. Remember we described that previously? We made this point?
Yeah.
Right? That Lord Brahma, there is Lord Brahma, means Chaturmukha Brahma, which means forehead of Brahma. Right? And then there is Hiranyagarbha, the subtle body. So this is before this point in time. Right, when the when Garbhodakshaya Vishnu was lying at the bottom of the universe, we saw back in chapter 6, is it? Chapter 8. Yeah. So we see in chapter 8, and we see that Hiranyagarbha means his subtle body. Garbhodakshaya Vishnu was lying within the bottom of the universe for, it says, for 100 celestial years, and at that point in time, the Virat Rupa manifested. And it was described, and we described at that point in time, that Lord Brahma was given the subtle form of the Virat Rupa, so that, and then when it was withdrawn by the Lord back into his body, the Virat Rupa was withdrawn once again into his body before the lotus flower came out, then that subtle manifestation of the Virat Rupa the first time, that was also given to Lord Brahma as his subtle body. So that was the Hiranyagarbha. So when he came out, within his subtle body, he understood how to create the universe, which is what he's doing now. And then Prabhupada also describes, in the purport describes, that the Virat Rupa, or the universe itself, is also Brahma's body.
Gross.
Yeah, the gross universe is also his body. Like that. In one sense, it's his body. Although he is that person, but it's also his body. And that's how he understands how everything will be ordered. Like that. So, does that make sense?
So the gross universe is also Brahma's gross body?
That's what it says.
But we also say that the Virat Rupa is the Virat Rupa is like, you know, the trees are the Lord's eyes, so it's the Lord's body also, no? The Lord's Virat.
Yeah, but Prabhupada pointing out it is Brahma's and the Lord's simultaneously.
Okay.
Like that. Prabhupada has mentioned these things. I have mentioned these things in previous classes. Like that, so.
So he was given that for the purpose of creation, was it?
Yeah, so that when he came out, like now he's come out and he's about to create, he was given the subtle body of the Bharat Rupa, so that he would understand now the creation. Now he understands how to create.
But he was given a temporary.
No, it's his subtle body. It's been given to him permanently, like that. In other words, it's imprinted within his consciousness how the universe should be situated, like that. That's how he understands how to create.
Prabhu, is that correct understanding that Saga is the manifestation of Lord, and Visaga is again Brahma's involvement? Just Lord want to give credit to Brahma, is that correct?
Yeah, that's understanding. Get a point?
The waters of the devastation are normally, you know, when there is a partial annihilation, and Brahma recreates at the start of the day, isn't it? So, where do these waters of devastation come at the state of Saga?
The state of Saga?
Sorry, the Visarga. The Brahma has just been born. There was no devastation. The Brahma has been born. Why is
no, the water of the Gavadaka ocean, like that. And then what takes place is that when Brahma goes to sleep, we'll see this in the next few chapters, when Brahma goes to sleep, then the water rises and covers all the planets up until the heavenly planets, right? And then above the heavenly planets, those planets are not covered by that water, but the rest of them are at that point in time. Okay. Thus engaged in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Brahma entered into the world of the lotus, and as it spread all over the universe, he divided it into three divisions of worlds and later into 14 divisions. Lord Brahma is the most exalted personality in the universe because of his causeless devotional service unto the Lord in mature transcendental knowledge. He therefore created all the 14 planetary divisions for inhabitation by the different types of living entities. So Srila Prabhupada points out here that his service to the Lord was to create 8,400,000 species of life, because the living entities in this material world have 8,400,000 different types of desires. Everyone in this world has different desires, different desires, like that. So whatever you desire, the Lord will facilitate. Yeah? If you desire to be pig, the Lord will facilitate your desire. Become a pig. If you desire to be a bear, then the Lord will facilitate your desire. Be a bear. If you desire to be a tree, then the Lord will give that facilitation, like that. So Lord Brahma is doing this on behalf of the Lord. This is Visarga, secondary creation. What are the living entities desired? Right? And then the Lord is awarding that. Then Lord Brahma facilitates as a service. He creates the material world. He gives us 14 planetary systems, 8,400,000 species of life. And now you can be happy. And if you're not happy, right? If you're in this material world and you're not happy, then go to the Hare Krishna temple and they will look after you. Shilapal Padaki.